Welcome to the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
This is Nick Scherfield with HoustonTexans.com, here with Vic Carucci of NFL.com, who we talked to during training camp. Vic, it's nice to talk to you again. How's everything going?
Things are going well, Nick. It's always great to talk with you.
Before the season, when I talked to you, you made the prediction that the Texans were capable of winning 10 games. Through this point of the season, through 9 weeks, Texans are 5-4, and they got halfway to 10 games, starting out 5-3. What do you think about your prediction now?
Well, I still feel pretty good about it. This is a young football team, and at times they've looked young. They've looked like a team that I believe doesn't have a starter over 30, if I'm right about that, or yeah. You know, something in that range. And I think that's part of their problem with regard to maybe not winning more games at this point. But I think they've demonstrated by having the most successful start of the franchise history, which came with that win at Buffalo. And that was twofold. Not only did they reach that milestone, but they won the type of game that I think earlier Texan teams, even last year, wouldn't have won because they had to establish themselves as a playoff contender and likely, I think, a wild card contender given where the Colts are in that division. That was a game that to me indicated a lot about their maturity level and their ability to sustain success, and that was a third consecutive victory, so it made a loud statement. Now, losing a close one to the Colts, I know there's no moral victories in the NFL, but I think, and there are many instances where the Texans are going to look back on that game and be very frustrated that they didn't do enough to win a game that was winnable for them against the Colts, and that you might not have a better opportunity to beat them than they did in Indianapolis. I would still say that gives them some level of confidence going into the second half of the season after this bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, heading into their bye, the Texans are 5-4. They're one of 10 teams in the AFC at 4-4 or better right now. It's looking like a tight race for the playoffs. Where do you see the Texans in that playoff mix?
Well, I see them right in the teeth of it. It is going to be a very difficult challenge because the AFC right now looks to me like maybe a little more of a tougher terrain, not as even a terrain perhaps competitively as we see in the NFC. But if you look in the divisions right now, the AFC North has a couple of 6-2 teams in Cincinnati and Pittsburgh. Of course, they play in week 10. Mm-hmm. Look at the AFC West, and the Broncos have lost a couple in a row, but I still think they're very strong. I don't think the losses to Baltimore or Pittsburgh are indications that they're beginning any kind of a free fall, but they're right there. And then San Diego seems to be waking up from its slumber with 3 wins in a row, so look out for them. They're going to challenge for that division, but I think one of those two teams clearly is going to be in the picture in the in the playoff hunt. And you know, I would just look at Jacksonville as a team that you can't ignore. They're 4-4, certainly. They're right there, and they're not out of the conversation. But and I guess that's part of the reason that if you're Houston, you've got to think about the challenges of staying ahead of everybody. But knowing that you're as far behind as you are now of the Colts, you've got to stay focused on winning the games that you should win. When you get an opportunity and you face a struggling Tennessee team, you can't let that go. Even though Tennessee, probably in the eyes of the Texans, are still the Titans, still a very tough football team. But, you know, they're 2-6 right now. They've won a couple in a row. I don't know that they revive themselves to get back in the playoff race, but they certainly are good enough to try to mess up other teams' efforts to get into the playoffs.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the Texans' defense. We talked before the season, and you commented on how you could see all the talent out there on the field during training camp. And, you know, you see all the young players like Mario Williams and D'Amico Ryans. And the question was how they were all going to come together under a new coordinator. And since the first 3 games, it's been a remarkable turnaround. Even in this Colts game, the defense has played very well. What do you think about the way the defense has played this year?
Yeah, I've been impressed, and I think having Donta Robinson back in the secondary is also important. When you and I had that conversation, he hadn't reported to camp yet, even though the expectation was that he was going to be there. But they are getting plays when they need them from a defense. That when you're in a game like they were against Buffalo, and ultimately their ability to just trample the Bills defense with the running game was a huge key in that game. But defensively, they did their part, and they did their part against the Colts, as you mentioned. And I, when you get into this part of the year, when you are in the grinded out part of your schedule, your defense has to rise to the occasion every week. It can't let up. You know, you hear teams talk about, well, if the offense lets down, the defense picks us up, or vice versa. And granted, that's still going to happen, but I think the one part of your team that better be consistent is that ability to shut down opponents and not let yourself fall into the trap of saying, okay, if we don't get it done here, Matt Schaub and our explosive passing game will just bail us out.
Another guy who missed the preseason, like Dante Robinson, was rookie linebacker Brian Cushing, who had an injury issue back then, but he's been nothing short of incredible this season. He's right up there among the league leaders in tackles. Where do you put him in the Defensive Rookie of the Year discussion?
Well, he's certainly a leading candidate for that award. Jarris Byrd, the safety for Buffalo, who was thrust into that lineup because of injury, probably wouldn't be playing if there wasn't an injury or a couple of injuries in that Bills secondary, is another guy that's up for consideration. He's been incredibly opportunistic. So I look at those two guys in a head-to-head race for that spot. I think Cushing could end up with more votes because he's on a team that's a little bit better than Buffalo, has won a couple of more games right now, and, of course, won the head-to-head battle. So that's going to have something to do with it. I mean, I think people certainly want to recognize individual performances. Sometimes the voters overlook the overall record, but it helps a whole lot when you're on a team that's contending and the efforts of that player are going toward success.
Bernard Pollard, the safety, who was cut loose by the Chiefs basically at the beginning of the year after he'd been their leading tackler for 2 years in a row. Does that surprise you to see a player come off the street like that where he wasn't with the team and to have been making a big impact for the Texans now?
Yeah, Bernard's a very interesting story, and a player who feels he's been overlooked or feels he's been kicked to the street by another team, or let's say doesn't get drafted coming out of college. You know, that is a great motivator. And Pollard definitely carries much more than a chip on his shoulder. I would say it's an entire forest. He's very unhappy with how things went for him in Kansas City and feels that every time he's out there, he's going to prove the Chiefs wrong. Certainly he wants to prove everybody in the NFL that had an opportunity to get him wrong, and I think he's playing with that heightened level of sensitivity in that Texan defense, and I think it's a good fit for him. His talents make him an effective player for how that scheme is run and the aggressiveness and such, and taking advantage of his skill set and his instincts. And he's just out to prove something every time he's out there. I mean, you could say that about a lot of players, but truthfully, there are some players who are driven by something a little extra than others, and I think Pollard's one of those guys.
Well, Vic, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about Matt Schaub and the Texans' passing offense, which you referenced a second ago. They've been playing very well this year. Schaub's up there among the league leaders in passing yards, and Andre Johnson is doing what he normally does. And even with the loss of Owen Daniels, they kind of went blow for blow with the Colts' offense last week. What is your impression of this passing offense in comparison to others around the league?
Well, I think it's a very good one. It's one of the very best in the NFL. It's always a threat to not only put points on the board, but certainly to change field position dramatically with one or two plays. And that is what you need in the NFL. You absolutely have to take advantage of rules that allow you to make big plays through the air. I mean, that's what this NFL is designed for now. It's designed for teams to have you may not necessarily have Peyton Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees, but if you have Matt Schaub, you've got a very good quarterback. If you've got Ben Roethlisberger or Carson Palmer, you're going to be a team that's going to be successful because these are guys capable of taking advantage of rules that sort of handcuff defenders in many respects, and then when they're going against highly talented players like Andre Johnson, mm-hmm. often don't even have a prayer of covering them, but it takes somebody to deliver the ball and deliver it on time, and somebody who can stand up to the rush and keep his, you know, keep his head, show good poise, show that ability to read the field well and make good decisions most of the time. And that's Matt Schaub, you know, and I'm very impressed with what he's done, but I know it's more of the combination of Schaub and Johnson and Schaub and the other receivers he has, and it's unfortunate. Losing Owen Daniels was a tremendous blow, losing that production, mm-hmm. but he looks like Schaub, looks like he's capable of overcoming it, and I would dare say that the other receivers, even though you don't replace Daniels and you don't have you don't replace Daniels' talent right away, it doesn't look like there's somebody there that's really that equivalent as a tight end. I do think the other players will pick up a lot of the slack.
All right, well, Vic Carucci, we know you're real busy, and we appreciate your time very much here on the HoustonTexans.com podcast.
My pleasure, Dick. Anytime.